Well, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm number 89. Psalm number 89, and we're going to share a few thoughts from that psalm with you. Primarily, three things that I want to say from that psalm and kind of do a short overview of it as well. Now, this won't mean anything to the ladies, but to the men, I've been reminded already twice this morning that I'm doing the devotional next Friday. And the reason is because a couple of weeks ago I was supposed to do it and I forgot. And so they reminded me that this Friday I'm supposed to do the devotional. So pray for me that I don't forget. I told Brother Gary, I said, I wrote it down on my calendar. Now I just have to remember to look at my calendar, right? Well, let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father God, thank you for today. What a beautiful day. And Lord, what a privilege. And I thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to share the word of God with your people here. And I pray the word of God will go forth and accomplish its purpose. And Father, that you would get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to kind of give a brief overview as we look at this chapter. But primarily, we're going to be looking at beginning in verse 26 is where we're going to start. Actually, I'm sorry, 27 through verse 33 is what I'm going to focus on. But I just want to kind of give you a general overview as you begin. It begins with, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. So we begin to see that we have a faithful God. And you know, it talks about his mercies. I think it's Psalm 136. I want to say there's 26 or 27 verses that every verse ends with his mercy is new every morning. And so the mercies of the Lord and how we need the mercies of God. So we're reminded of his faithfulness, that he is a faithful God, and we're going to sing through all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. And I have made a covenant with my chosen, with God's chosen people of Israel, and certainly with us. So he's a covenant-keeping God, and we're going to see that as we go along. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. At verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. So he's a faithful God, he's a covenant-keeping God, and he's a great God. And then in verse 11, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. So he's the mighty creator. Verse 15, I kind of like this verse. Blessed is thy people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. We sing that song, I've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You remember singing that? Have you heard the joyful sound? Have you heard that? Jesus saves? You know, as you get out knocking on doors and talking to people, Brother John Ackerman, good to see you here today, brother. Just noticed that you're here. Nice green shirt. Brother Scott is here this morning. Good to see you, Brother Scott. Amen. And good to see your son with us. Glad you're here. Amen. I had a thought, and it left the tracks. I got to get that train back on the track here. But praise God for his goodness and for all that he does. And but as you talk to people, and you get similar responses. But one young man I talked to yesterday, and he said he's not going to church. And I said, well, has anyone ever shared with you the gospel, how you could be saved and know that you're going to heaven? And he said, well, yes, I've heard that. I said, okay, what did you do with it? He said, what do you mean? I said, you've heard the gospel. You've heard that you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell. You need to repent, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved and go to heaven. Have you done that? He said, well, no. And I said, well, would you like to know right now? I could share with you right now. And he said, well, you know, and he started hem-hawing, and he said, well, you know, maybe another time. And well, what's wrong with right now, you know? And it's kind of interesting. People say, I've heard. Well, we've heard the joyful sound, And I believe as I look around, we're all saved. So you did something about it, didn't you? Didn't you? I hope you did. Amen. If not, we're going to have a big altar call, and we'll get you all saved. Get you up here on your knees before God. Amen. So people have to come to God. They have to repent and turn from their sin. Anyway, I just want to kind of give you a little bit of an overview there that is talking about the various attributes of God. And then when we get down to verse 27, and I also will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Four or five verses before that is talking about God's covenant that he has made with David. But now it moves from David to the Lord Jesus Christ, into the covenant that God has made with the people of Israel and with the church through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see the transition, because he says, I will also make him my firstborn. And the New Testament tells us that Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. How we know it's not talking about David? Because he's higher than the kings of the earth. And Jesus is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So it moves. It talks about God and his attributes. Then it talks about the covenant God has made with David. Now he moves on to the covenant that he's not only made with Israel, but the covenant that he has made with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, verse 28, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. So this covenant is the covenant that God has made through Jesus Christ. You know, Jeremiah told the people of Israel, there was coming a day when God said, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. Not like the old covenant, which was under the law, but a new covenant which brings righteousness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the covenant that we're living under right now. And it's an everlasting covenant. You know, when you think of the covenants of God, I was reading, I believe it's in Jeremiah chapter 33. God says, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he said, if you could change the day and the night, and I'll put my words into it, so that the sun doesn't shine and the moon doesn't shine anymore. If you're able to do that, then it's possible I would break my covenant with Israel and with the church. But if you can't do that, I want you to know I'm never going to break my covenant and the promises that I've made to Israel and that I've made to the church. So you and I have an everlasting covenant with God, and it's going to last forever. And we're going to see as we go through the text, if you're saved, you've been saved by grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You belong to God. You're a child of God. You've been adopted into the family of God. And there's not anything that can disannul that, nothing that can change that. We're in the Father's hand. We're in the Son's hands. And no one can pluck us out. And Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. And I like it. So often through the Bible, God says something that's future, but it's already done. He says, I've already given you eternal life. John 17 says, this is eternal life. If you know the Father and you know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life in you right now. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So we have that covenant and that promise of God that he has given. And so he says, his seed, verse 29, will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. So here we are, we're following the firstborn, the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want you to notice some possibilities in verse 30 and 31. Even if we're saved, we're prone to sin, aren't we? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But when we sin, we have an advocate in the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his blood cleanses us from all of our sin. You know, as I was thinking about this, all kind of thoughts come into your mind, but so often we see in the Psalms, and David would cry out and say, God, why are you so far from my crying? Lord, you know, and he talks about, you know, roaring, the anguish of his soul. God, where are you? And we may say that, and I think God's answer would be, I'm right here, right where I've always been. I haven't moved. I haven't changed. He says, I'm the Lord, and I change not. His promises are true, and they're steadfast. And so no matter what we're going through, God is there. Amen? God is here right now. Jesus, wherever two or three are gathered together, I am there in the midst of you. So we know the Lord is here right now. He's with us every day. No matter what we're doing, we're walking with the Lord, walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. Now, you know, even Jesus was led of the Spirit in Matthew chapter 4 into the wilderness, led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil, not tempted to sin. God doesn't tempt any man to sin, it says in James 1. He doesn't tempt us to sin, but he allows us to be tested. And God, to accomplish his purpose, as we'll see it in the text, he may allow us to go into a place where he has to chasten us or discipline us. But there is the possibility that you and I might fail. Brother Don, I know he sends those memes every day that I really enjoy. And he talked in one of them, we may fail, but God never fails. Amen? Boy, I'm going to turn you folks into a Pentecostal church yet. I got a message I was going to work on, and I was going to preach it today. And I said, I don't know, I don't think Pastor will like that, because I'll get you shouting like a bunch of Pentecostals, and they'll say, what in the world's going on over there at Cornerstone Baptist Church? Got some Pentecostal preacher in there. Amen, it's all right to get excited in the house of God, amen? God said you could dance. Well, my legs don't move as well as they used to, but he said there's a time to dance. David danced before the Lord, didn't he? Got happy in Jesus and praising God as they're bringing the, you know, the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and he danced before the Lord. And I don't think he was ever completely naked, but I mean, he got down to his skivvies, if you will, and he was dancing before the Lord. He was just excited, and you know that's what happens when you get excited in the Lord. You forget your inhibitions. You're not ashamed anymore. You're just excited about the Lord. So it's all right once in a while. I know I watch Jimmy Swaggart once in a while. They get carried away a little bit. They got guys running up and down the aisle and going, doing all kinds of things. I don't know that I'm ever going to do that. But praise God, it's all right to get excited in the Lord's house. But notice this possibility. Notice what he says. We see it all through the Bible, that little word, if. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not the commandments. If they do that, then he says, you know what I'm going to do if they do that? Then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. So God says there's the possibility that you might sin, that you might stray. In one of the songs, we talk about how we're prone to wander, to leave the God we love, how we can allow sometimes the flesh or the world or circumstances to come into our life in such a way that we're not walking in obedience to the Lord. We're not walking the way that he wants us to walk. So God says it's a possibility. If they do this, if they walk away from me, if they sin, and you know what? We've all been there. We've all been there. And, you know, we don't want to sin. We want to be holy and godly because he commands us to be holy as the Lord our God is holy. And we want to be holy, to be separate from sin, to be those peculiar, unique, special people, different from the world. Not weird, but the world might say we're weird, but we're different. We're supposed to be different. We're not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we can be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And walking in the Spirit and obeying the Lord. We want that, don't we? We want that. I know Moody talked about, he called it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I can't remember the story exactly, but he said God had told him more or less to get alone in a room, and he said the Spirit of God came upon him in such a way, he said, I had to ask the Lord to stay his hand lest I would die for joy. And he called it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you and I, when we're saved, we're filled with the Spirit of God. We're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. That's what baptism means, immersion. We're immersed into the body of Christ. The moment we get saved, the Spirit of God comes in our life. He puts us in Christ, and we belong to him, and we're the children of our Heavenly Father. And so God does that. But sometimes God, I think for people like Moody, R.A. Torrey talked about it, some of the great preachers we've known over the years, they may have some sort of special anointing that is needed for the ministry that they have at that particular time. Because we know in the Old Testament, they weren't indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of God would come upon them like Samson. You know, the Spirit of God came upon him to do what he could do. And we see that all through the Old Testament, the anointing of the Spirit. But you and I, we have the Spirit of God living within us, don't we? We have the Spirit of God living within us. And that's it. I try to comprehend that, but I can't. Because I think with the Spirit of God living in me, why do I think the things I think? Why do I say the things I say that are contrary? Well, it's because we still have this flesh, don't we? We still have this flesh. And there's a struggle, Paul said, that the flesh and the spirit wrestle against or lust against one another. They struggle. And so we're involved in that struggle. But even though we sin, even if we fail, even if we mess up, God doesn't say, get out of here, you don't belong to me anymore. Look what he says in this next verse. Even if we do that, he says in verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer thy faithfulness to fail. Amen. Nevertheless, even though you messed up, you're still my child. Even though you messed up, I still love you. Oh, I may have to spank you. I may have to bend you over and put the belt on you like my dad used to do, but nevertheless, I still love you. You still belong to me. I remember when they were out fishing, Peter and the apostles, and Jesus came and he said, you know, thrust out from the land and put out your net. And they said, Master, we've toiled all night. We haven't caught anything. But nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do what you tell us to do. And God says, nevertheless, look over, take a look at Psalm 63. Real quick, I think we could glean some thoughts about this loving kindness of God. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I won't. I'll just read verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than my life, my lips shall praise. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name, and my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, nevertheless, his loving kindness, he says his loving kindness, that goodness of God, that mercy of God, grace and love of God, it's better than life itself. If you know Christ, that is life. That is eternal life, knowing him. And notice what it does. When we experience the loving kindness of God, it leads us to praise. It leads us to, at night, a prayer and of worship. He talks about being satisfied, being content in the Lord. I'm satisfied. That song that says, you know, I'm satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to mind, is Jesus satisfied with me? And we're satisfied because of his loving kindness. And then turn over to Psalm 103. And I want to read a couple of verses there. Be good to read the whole chapter, but we don't have time. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And so here he says, nevertheless, he says, my loving kindness, I'll not take it away. The blessings of God, he'll not take away. All the things that he talks about, forgiveness and redemption and health and healing and satisfaction and giving us the food and the things we need, keeping us from destruction over and over and over. The loving kindnesses of God, there's probably no end to what those loving kindnesses are that God does for you and I. Aren't you glad that the Lord loves you? Amen. Aren't you glad that he's kind? Yes. You know, he tells us that we're to be what? We're to be loving and tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. So we're to demonstrate what Jesus demonstrates to us, loving kindness. Do you ever, you know, Saul, it says that, evil spirit would come over him. You remember one time he threw the spear and he wanted to pin David right to the wall. He wanted to kill him. And David often would play the harp and would soothe him. And have you ever had a sense, I guess Saul had that evil spirit? But I know I was out yesterday. I'm not going to give you all the details, but there, well, not that there was a particular person, but I was angry in my spirit. And it was like, I'm looking, and I'm saying, what are you angry about? Nobody's done anything to you. And it's like all of a sudden I had these negative thoughts about people that I don't even know, mean thoughts, and I could be mean. Try not to. And I'm glad that the Spirit of God lives in us and he rebukes us. And I said, Lord, this isn't right. Help my thinking to be right.
Yes.
Help me to think right. It talks about that in Philippians 4:8. Let these thoughts be, and, you know, think like this. And so I had to remind myself that this isn't Christ. You know, even though I didn't say anything to anybody or do anything, but I had these thoughts, and it was just like an oppression of the devil. I just felt this sense that, boy, I tell you, it really bothered me. It really disturbed me. And I thought about what I was going to be preaching today about this loving kindness of God. And so often, you know, at times, maybe this happens to you, I can be abrupt. I talk to people and I'm not really kind. I'm not really, you know, tender like I should be. And I have kind of a gruff tone. And I'm glad that the Lord will remind me, that's not Christ. That's not Christ. And so that helps us to get back on track, you know. Nevertheless, he says, my loving kindness, I'll not utterly take it from you, nor will my faithfulness fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. So we know that God will discipline us, because his discipline is designed, it's not punitive. And you know, I made this mistake when I was young with my children. I would get angry with them, and I would spank them, and I would be angry. And it was punitive. It was meant to punish. It was, certainly you want to get their attention. But when God disciplines us, it's not punitive, it's instructive.
Yeah.
It's to bring forth that peaceful fruit of righteousness. It's to bring out Christ in us. It's to make us more like the Lord. And so God allows that to happen. But yet he says, even though I have to discipline you, I'll never take away my loving kindness from you. And he says, I'll never break the covenant. I'll never break the covenant. The words that have gone out of my mouth, he says, I'm not going to change them. My covenant, he says in verse 34, will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David, the promises he had made to Israel, and as well as the promises he's made to us. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. You know, they've been trying to destroy the Jews. You know, when Muhammad came along, and of course he hated Israel, he hated the church, because he was serving a pagan god. And ever since then, they've been trying to destroy Israel. You see, if you could destroy Israel, as he said, you can't change the day and the night. The covenant I've made with Israel, I'm going to keep it. There's going to be a remnant. But can you imagine? Can you imagine if Israel could be destroyed? If they no longer became a nation? Then the Muslims in the world would say, you know what? God's a liar. God's a liar. He said he was going to keep Israel. He made a promise to David, your seed, I'll not forsake them, and my covenant I'll not break, and there's going to be a seed of Israel, there's going to be a remnant of Israel, and they're going to live forever. And if they could get rid of Israel, they would say, God's a liar. He can't keep his promise. And God is telling us over and over and over and over again, I don't break my covenants. I keep my promises. My word is always true. I hang my hat, as they say, on the word of God. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. Every word in this King James Bible is the word of God. It's God's word. And I believe it. Trying to understand it. But I know God's promises are true. And he's saying here, my covenant is everlasting. That promise that I made to Israel, I'm going to keep. The promise that I've made to the church, I'm going to keep. The Lord Jesus is coming back. They say in 2 Peter, where's the promise of his coming? Why, we've been hearing this for years. Jesus is coming back. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour, the month, or the year, but he's coming back. Yeah. They said there in Acts chapter 1, you men of Galilee, why do you stand there staring up into the heavens? This same Jesus, not another Jesus, this same Jesus, the resurrected Christ that you saw ascend up to heaven from Mount Olivet, is coming back in like manner. And that's what Zechariah said. When he comes back, he will come back to that Mount Olivet. And he talks there about how there's going to be a cleavage in the mountain. God said, I'm coming back. Jesus said, I've gone away to prepare a place. And if I went away to prepare a place, I'm coming back again. And he said, I'm coming back for you so that where I am, you could be with me also. That's our hope and that's our promise today in the word of God. God says, I keep my word. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. We may not have it all figured out. We try to discern the signs of the times in which we live. But I know the Lord Jesus is coming back at the exact right time. It says that Jesus came in the fullness of time at the right time to be born of that Virgin Mary according to the purpose and the plan of God. He came at exactly the right time that God intended, and he's coming back at exactly the right time when God says, Jesus said, I don't know the day, I don't know the hour, only my Father in heaven. That's because Jesus surrendered himself, submitted himself to the will of the Father. But there's that song that was sang by Ivan Parker, The Midnight Cry, when God says it's time, says Jesus is going to step out and he's going to call his children home at the exact right time when God the Father says, Son, go and get my children, go and bring them home. I don't know when that time is, and neither do you, but it might be soon. And the question is, are you ready? What if he came today? Are we ready? Are we ready to meet the Lord? Are we ready to see him? If you've not been born again, you're not ready. You say, well, I've heard about him, I know about him. But if you don't know him personally, if you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, you're not ready. There's a lot of religious people, and I meet them out there all the time, and they're religious, and they go to church. Being religious won't save you. Going to church won't save you. Even if you pray and read your Bible, unless you know him, you're not going to heaven. Are you ready? I want to tell you, I'm ready. I enjoy life. A lot of blessings. I like ice cream. I enjoy life. I'm not in a hurry. I want to finish my course, as Paul said. He said, I want to finish my course. He said, I want to keep the faith. I want to keep fighting that good fight. But when God calls, I'm ready. I hope we can all say here this morning, nevertheless, in spite of all that I've done, God's loving kindness he has given me, and he loves me, and he's redeemed me, and I belong to him. And Lord, as John said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Yes. Father God, thank you for your scripture. Thank you for all your people here today. I pray the message has a positive impact. May you get the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.